This is already. I almost finished most of the part of this project, but I'm going to discuss about crystallinity, magnitude, and rectifier properties of the doped perovskite oxide. And my supervisor is Professor Dr. Azavi. And let's go for next slide. So I'm going to discuss about the kind of very short introduction of the perovskite oxide. Is usually defined as a metal oxide, oxide 2. And we are doping bismuth to this compound. And I'm going to discuss about the method of the preparation. And also, I'm going to discuss the crystal structure measurement that we measure by X-ray diffraction, and also magnetic properties, resistivity properties, and some kind of future works maybe will be done by next 6 months that I have time to finish my thesis, and conclusion and references. So first of all, I'm going to discuss what's the reason of the having the interest in research of this compound, because the first high TC superconductivity that was discovered, that is barium doped with lanthanum copper oxide, and we are going to study this compound that is usually the formula is defined as AbO3, and A is usually is getting from the rare earth elements, and the B is a transition metal ions. And if you are familiar with the definition of the transition metal ions, is related to the dose element that the D shelled electrons is unfilled, and O is clear that it's going to be oxygen, and you can see the position of all those atoms in the crystal structure, that A is in the center. To use the mouse. A is at the center, and at the X position, you're going to find oxygen, and you can see the B atoms at the center of the cubic. So the reason that we are going to define and we are going to research for this compound, because as I found in many different papers and journals that they had already worked in this compound, I just found maybe almost four basic reasons for it, because the first of all, we can see kind of transition in the crystal structure of kind of this material at a specific temperature that you are going to see in the next slides. That was reported by those people. And also magnetic transition from paramagnetic to antiferromagnetic is happening at the nil temperature of this compound. It can be a reason that we are going to discuss and doing the research of this compound. And also the work that was done by those people that you can see in the third part is metal insulator transition by doping of lanthanum vanadium O3 by calcium. And also the last reason is the most of the perovskite compound like lanthanum vanadium O3 are able to accept more doping. It can be carriers, is holes or electrons in the large range of the composition that doesn't affect the crystal structure. That is a good point, that we have enough background that you can find in the journal of this compound. So why we are using bismuth? So it's very important to understand which element that's going to be proper for any compound for doping. So we choose a bismuth that you can see the electron configuration is written as you can see in the slide. And atomic number is 83, and bismuth ions, they have spin 1, but you will see in the formula that lanthanum 3+ and vanadium 3+ doesn't have any, spin is going to be 0, so that's why the only magnetic ions is referred to the vanadium side. And another reason that we are more interested for using bismuth as a doped element, because it's very important that we choose the compound and element that have a kind of ionic radius, same as the lanthanum side. We are, because we are going to substitute bismuth in the lanthanum side. That's why it's very important to have a, to choose a proper element that have the same kind of radius, ionic radius. Also, oxidation state is very important. That's going to be, for this case, is lanthanum. And bismuth have a same oxidation state. And the last reason, okay, as you can see in the, by substitution bismuth in the lanthanum side, we will have extra electron, and that can be kind of reason that we will see kind of changes in the physical properties of this material. So I'm going just very shortly, just I show in some sentence for preparation of the ceramic that we made. That is usually six different, that I didn't mention here, is six different samples that I already made that can be obtained by a standard solid reaction in the air that you mix it up, lanthanum oxide plus vanadium oxide and the bismuth in some different process. But I didn't mention here because it's going to be long things. And at the end, we will have lanthanum, bismuth, vanadium, O4. But we are using to characterize and make a measurement for lanthanum, bismuth, vanadium, O3. That's why we are prepared this sample in the kind of reduction reaction at temperature almost 1,323 Kelvin for 10 hours in argon and hydrogen furnace. So the first, usually the first basic measurement that we are going to define our samples and ceramics is a study of the crystal structure. That's going to be X-ray diffraction that I did for my sample. And we will find in this material, because that is the X-ray result from the lanthanum vanadium O3, that's going to be the parent compound. So you will see for the rest of this graph shows the, actually I didn't mention the each one, what does it mean, but the very first one is for the parent compound. And here is for 10% bismuth doping. And the third one is 20%, four is 40%, 60%, and 80%. But if you just look at the last three X-ray results, you will see some extra peaks that is not clear here, but I will show you in the next slides. And that's kind of segregation that will happen in the crystal structure by doping of the bismuth more than 60%. And by calculation of the cell parameters, we will find the compound of the material that I made is tetragonal structure, and I'm using the databases from the library that was updated recently. And this is the comparison between the first peak showed the parent compound that's going to be the black part, and the pink part is the 80% bismuth. And you will see differences of the extra peak that you can find here, and here, and this one, and almost more than five extra peak that we can see in the result. So if you just use the databases and guess which kind of bonds we can have for our compound, we usually, as I study, I find that all those extra peaks is related to the vanadium O3, and we can just mention that by doping more than 60% of the bismuth in our crystal, we will have a kind of segregation of the phase, that we will have vanadium O3 in the one side and lanthanum bismuth and vanadium O3 in another side. That's why it's the kind of limitation for us that we can stop our adding doping elements to our compound. But yes, and I measurement the cell parameter for the sample, the four samples that have a parent compound and they have a, and have a almost same structure. And we can find very slightly differences in the cell parameter that's defined as ABC, and the tetragonal, if you're familiar, tetragonal structure is defined for those crystal that they have a same value of ABC, and A will be this side and B will be this side. It's not very clear here, but it's actually that part is a kind of a square. Okay, and ABC is a same value, and C is different. It's going to be the high of this crystal. So you will see the changes of the vanadium. And also very basic expression of the magnetic measurement. We are interested to see what is the changes of the magnetic and magnetic properties of this compound. And if you're familiar with the definition of the susceptibility and the magnetization and this stuff, these are the basic formula that we are using to, and we are defining some kind of parameter. And the first graph shows the 1 over susceptibility by temperature. And if you have a transition of the anti-ferromagnetic to paramagnetic, usually you can define some Curie-Weiss temperature that usually for anti-ferromagnetic should be given by negative value. And if you find the theta at zero, you will have paramagnetic. And if you find theta greater than zero, it means positive, you will have ferromagnetic. So we find kind of anti-ferromagnetic structure in our compound. And that is the result that I got. And the very first graph shows the molar magnetization of the sample. And if you look at the graphs, the first one is the parent one. And by adding 10%, 20, 40, 60, and 80%, we have kind of changes in the transition point. So if you just take a look at the three first graph, we will have there is no changes in the phase transition. But after 40%, we will see the transition to the from paramagnetic to antiferromagnetic is transferred to almost 170 degree. That's happened for the last three compounds. And if you just take a look at the first column of this measurement, we will find the first one, first, third, two, and second, is the referred to the transition temperature of the those compound that is acceptable, but for last three one, 170 is exactly referred to the, because some journal that published some properties of the vanadium O3, they define the transition temperature at the same temperature that we find in the magnetic properties. So that's why that is that the last three one can convince us, because the result that we got in the X-ray is can be matched with the result that we got in the magnetic properties, because we have the same transition temperature of the vanadium O3 that was expected. And also we can find the theta that's Curie-Weiss, and magnetic moment, these are all the value can be defined by those graphs that I show you. I don't have enough time to go through the details. So this is a resistivity measurement of this compound. We usually made the kind of rod form of all the ceramic forms, and we just made the kind of four connection of the sample. And we replaced it in the PAC, if you're familiar with PPMS system. And we are measuring the resistivity by a very simple formula that you already know. And we define the resistivity of all this sample. And and this is the result that I got for resistivity for different from bismuth doping. And also the reason that we are going for resistivity measurement is usually finding the energy gap and temperature dependence of the we are going to define, and just for a specific area from 240 degree Kelvin to 400, that's defined as a high temperature. We defined energy gap just for high temperature, and we can see the changes of the energy gap from the parent one to 80% bismuth of the compound. So it's kind of, we can say in the general it's kind of decreasing of the energy gap. So actually this shows the kind of semiconductor behavior of the for all the compounds. And at the end we can so we can find that for all the doping of the lanthanum vanadium O3, we just find semiconductor behavior, because in our some previous work that was done by doping, this is the kind of transition happened in electrical properties, but in our compound it's just a semiconductor behavior, but for different energy gap. And we got that vinyl temperature was changed by doping bismuth, as I discussed at the beginning. And also we should limit our doping more than 60%, because we find some crystal structure was changed. And effective magnetic moments also increased by doping more bismuth, that is acceptable. And I'm going for next work, if I have enough time, for thermal conductivity measurement of all this sample, because it can be fine kind of application for this material as a thermo electrothermal devices, and for the high efficiency fridges, and if you are familiar with this stuff. But I'm not sure that I'm able to finish it, but that's the whole story, and these are kind of references that I used. And thank you from Brock University, my supervisor, and my friends, Belina and Mariam, they just come with us all together from the same university and the same supervisor. And thank you from Organizer for making this arrangement, because I didn't expect that I'm going to present, but thank you for it. And if you have any question, I appreciate it.
You just mentioned that there could possibly be applications in things like fridges, but you'd have to look into the thermal properties more, right? Are there any applications that you can think of based on resistivity and the things that you've looked at that this could be used for?
So if you're familiar with the definition of the electrothermal devices, usually defined for those devices that by changing of the temperature, you have changes in the voltage. So that's very acceptable application, because that is a basic idea in the fridges for having the high efficiency. And there is a kind of a specific definite formula that is related to the voltage and some kind of S. I don't know if you're familiar with this stuff or not, and the delta T. So constant value can be referred to other formula that at the end you can find the deficiency of the fridges. So I don't know, kind of useful for thermal devices, because we have a kind of transition from high to low temperature. And
okay, thanks.
You're welcome.